All right, ladies and gentlemen, a formal welcome to our Daily Power Parsha. So, it's good to see everybody right side up and in good health, please God, and just in a good space. I will tell you, I'm going to Brady Bunch view for a moment. I will tell you, hey, Yitzchak, good to see you. Wow. Hey. How's it going?
It's going well.
Awesome. Good, good. All right, we have hey, nice. Wow, we got everybody here. This is fantastic. This is fantastic. All right, super exciting. Let's jump right in. This is our Friday edition of Daily Power Parsha, and we are going to get inspired to run straight into Shabbat. We're going to get inspiration for today and for tomorrow. We need a double portion of inspiration, and that's why we have Eli here. We have Eli here in order to help us get inspired. Eli is with Amy. Amy is with Eli, and we are so excited to see. How old is Eli now? A year and a half? Year and a half. Amazing. He's our youngest member. He's the youngest member of our Power Parsha group. Okay. So let's jump right in. I will share my screen as I like to do. Hold on one second. Yes. Yes, I'm with Karen on that, on the chat. All right, let's look at the Torah portion. I'm about to share my screen. And here you can see, in probably 3 seconds, you will see the Chabad.org Parsha page. And here we have the actual text of the Torah with the translation. Today we have the sixth reading, and what a reading it is. Okay, so once again, this Torah reading opens up with the daily reading opens up with a discussion about the sin offerings known as the Karban Chatas. The Karban Chatas, the sin offering, was specifically brought by someone who committed a sin, who did something wrong, but they did so unintentionally. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to do it. I did it. I realized it. My bad. So what do? So you bring an offering. And we talked yesterday about the notion of how a soul can come to sin. If you notice the opening of this reading, once again, we have the word nefesh. You can see it. I'm highlighting it right there in verse 27 in the Hebrew. Ve'im nefesh achas techeta b'shkaga. If one soul sins, inadvertently or unintentionally. Again, it uses the word nefesh. The word nefesh is very important because, as we said yesterday, the connotation is, the deeper meaning is, a nefesh, a soul should sin. How is it possible? And the answer is, a soul can sin when it forgets that it's a soul. When we identify more with body than with soul, that's when we become susceptible. But I want to share one more insight on this, and that comes from some of the mystical works of Chabad Hasidic philosophy. So, and I should mention that what I'm sharing with you right now is actually taken from the Hasidic teachings of the fifth Chabad Rebbe, whose yahrzeit, whose anniversary of his passing, is today, the second day of Nisan. So today is a very special day. It's Beis Nisan, the second day of Nisan, and Nisan, as in the month, not in the auto manufacturer. You with me on that? Okay, so, all right. So Nisan, today is the second day of Nisan. Today is the anniversary, 100 years. In 1920, 100 years ago, the fifth Chabad Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, Rabbi Shalom Dov Ber Schneerson, passed away. And I want to share with you an insight from his teachings. And that is that the reason why people do things that are self-destructive or harmful to others is because of rationalizations. It's because we tell ourselves it's not so bad, or I deserve it, or they deserve it, or I didn't mean to do it, or I'm not gonna mean to do it, or I'll just say sorry later, or whatever, all sorts of justifications. In fact, we studied for a few years every Sunday morning in our Kabbalah and Coffee class. This is going back, I don't know, many, many years. We studied a text called Overcoming Folly by the fifth Rebbe, whose yahrzeit is today. And the entire theme of that text is that you and I, unfortunately, might live, whatever, people, people are susceptible to living in a space of justifications and rationalizations, where we're doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing, or we're not doing something that we know we should be doing. And the reason why is because we tell ourselves, not so bad, I deserve it, it's only this one time, they have it coming to them, all sorts of different justifications that we use to justify negative behavior. The point here is, the Torah says, "V'im nefesh achas techta b'shkaga," if a soul sins unintentionally, the message here is, we need to remember, again, like I said yesterday, who we are, but also that sin or harmful behavior is not the norm, but it's the aberration. And it's not the seichel yashar, it's not the correct way of thinking, it's a distortion. And so the goal here is to get back to correct thinking and healthy thinking. Again, let's talk about eating. If you stop someone and ask them the question, right, you know, design a healthy diet, could pretty much everyone do that? The answer is yes. So why don't we always eat the healthy diet? The answer is because temptation, it looked good, only this one time, I'll diet later, whatever. There's all the justifications, and we're all, you know, we're all in the same boat on this because we all do things. I'm giving a simple example. We all do things that we know better to not do. Or we don't do things that we know better that we should be doing. And the reason is because, again, justification. The mind is the greatest tool we have. The mind is phenomenal, but the mind is also sometimes our greatest enemy. In that, we can use it to justify just about any type of behavior. From the more innocent to the very, very not so innocent at all. So again, we have to be careful with the mind and recognize that the mind can be a fantastic ally, but it can also get us into trouble. I want to skip now, or fast forward if you... Yeah, Mark.
Quick question.
Yes.
Nefesh, to my knowledge, means the blood soul, as opposed to Neshama. Does that mean that the Nefesh is the seat of the animal soul?
Very good question. Excellent question. It says in Kabbalah that there are five names for the soul. We got a good five here. Nefesh, from below to above. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Oh, now I'm out of the screen. Chaya, Yechida. Right? So these are the five names of the soul. In fact, the Kabbalah says, Chamisha, Shemos, Nikra, La. The soul is called by five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya Yechida. Mark, you are absolutely right that Nefesh is the lowest level soul, and it's considered to be more of the biological soul. The Nefesh is more of the biological part of the soul, which I'll explain in a moment. Ruach is emotional, Neshama is intellectual, Chaya is super rational, and Yechida is divine. Now, the soul is spiritual. So when we talk about the biological dimension of the soul, nefesh, I don't mean that the soul itself has a physiology. What I mean is that this is the part of the soul, which is one, but it's the lowest part of the soul that interfaces and acts as a battery pack to provide physical animation. In other words, movement. Basic biological blood life, as you said, is provided for by the dimension of the soul called nefesh. The higher levels of the soul give us other abilities, like our emotional state and our intellectual state and our spiritual state, etc. But you're right, nefesh is the lowest level. So could it be that nefesh is used specifically by the Torah to indicate that this is the part of the soul that's susceptible to sin? You might say that, but the nefesh itself is not susceptible to sin. It's only the nefesh, as grabbed, if you will, by the body and the animal soul, that's when the nefesh can be schlepped into the sinful or the negative experience. And again, the point here is that listen, we don't need a self-help book to get into trouble, right? That we figure out on our own. The trick is to recognize that it's a distortion, and there's really another way of thinking that's a little bit healthier. Okay, so that's all this opening verse. I want to jump now to the seventh reading, which is associated with Shabbat tomorrow, but we're not going to be on this live broadcast tomorrow, so I want to share some ideas about this today. And so, a phenomenal verse, verse 21. Okay, here we go. Verse 21. Now, this is talking about where a person commits financial fraud. Okay, and financial fraud in this context means, or in this case specifically, is where somebody gives someone money to hold. And when he comes back for it, the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. You never gave me money. Simple example, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is going out of town. And Reuven likes to keep cash on hand. And Reuven has $1,000. And he doesn't want to take it with him on vacation. So Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, hey, Shimon, I'm headed out of town. I trust you. You're my friend. Here's $1,000. When I come back in a week's time, give it back to me, please. And Shimon says, no problem. You can trust me. And a week passes, and Reuven comes back to Shimon and says, all right, I'm back. Had a wonderful time. Check out my Instagram page for the pictures. And now I'm back for my $1,000. And Shimon says, I don't know what you're talking about. Never happened. You never gave me the money. Shimon, in this case, is lying. Now, he's lying because I'm telling you what happened is the money was given, and now Shimon is lying. And so now what happens is he's guilty of lying. Now, we don't know that because maybe there are no witnesses and there's no proof. But what happens if at a later point in time, Shimon begins to feel guilty and Shimon begins to feel like he did the wrong thing and now he wants to come clean? At this point, he has to repay the money. He has to pay an extra fine on top of the money, top of the $1,000. And he has to bring some sacrifices, some offerings, which the Torah discusses. But let's read verse 21. Just like kind of thumbs up or not. Make sense how I described it very quickly? Yes? Okay, thank you. So look at verse 21. If a person sins, if a person sins, betraying the Lord by falsely denying to his fellow concerning a deposit or money given in hand or an object taken by robbery, or he withheld funds from his fellow, etc., etc. There are various scenarios. I just gave you one. In other cases where straight up Shimon stole from Reuven and denies it, or he owes him money and he's not paying it back and he's withholding funds and he says, I'm not going to give it to you. In any of these cases, we're talking about someone that has money that belongs to someone else and they're not giving it back and they're denying that they owe it. That's the scenario. And again, the prescription is when the person comes clean, when they admit they're wrong, they bring a guilt offering and they have to repay the amount and add an extra fifth in a fine. But I want to focus on a non-literal interpretation of this verse, and it's phenomenal. Okay, I'm going to highlight the first few words on the English because it works in the English as well. If a person sins, betraying the Lord by falsely denying to his fellow. The Torah tells us, again, non-literally, that when a person asks for something, when a person asks for help, we ought to extend the help that they need. If a person sins, betraying the Lord by falsely denying to his fellow also means if a person says, I'm sorry, I can't help you, and they really can. If you falsely deny help to your fellow, then it's a sin betraying the Lord because God puts us here to help take care of each other. Again, the simple explanation of the verse I told you before. But now we have a deeper explanation of the verse, or a non-literal interpretation, a more midrashic interpretation, or a mystical interpretation. And that is that we're here for each other. And if we deny help to our fellow, it's an affront to what Hashem wants, and it's an affront to our purpose. We're here to help and not to be selfish. We live in a time where people need help. We live, when I say a time, I don't mean like a generation. I mean literally a time, right? Days in which there are people around us that need help. And yeah, it might be hard to help, but Torah tells us that we have to help. We have to help because, yeah, God could help. King David asked God, why don't you take care of the poor? And King David says, because then what are you here for? Why did I create human beings if I'm going to take care of all the problems? I put you here to take care of each other. And so here we have a message in our verse, verse 21. I think this is chapter 5 of Leviticus. We have to take care of our friends, our fellow, and not betray the trust that God puts within us. I want to share with you one more insight, and that is right over here. Here we go. Verse 24. 24 is, again, getting back to the simple case, 24 is the resolution of the case. So if a person denies owing someone else the money, etc., right? And it's a lie, but he denies it. So or any other case, verse 24, anything else regarding which he had sworn falsely. So what happens if he eventually admits that he lied? So the prescription is, here we go, I'm going to highlight it in blue. He shall pay its principal, adding its fifths to it. He shall give it to its rightful owner on the day he repents for his guilt. So if the person says, you know what, I feel so guilty. I did get the $1,000. I'm so sorry that I lied about it. Here's the money. Torah says, not so fast. You got to pay back $1,200. $1,000 plus an additional fifth as a fine, kind of as a punishment for the original denying and putting the other guy through the ringer. So you have to pay the $1,000 plus an extra fifth, which would be $200 in this case. Okay, now let's talk about this again on a deeper level. We all have things in which we huh?
You don't mean a bottle of scotch.
What?
You don't mean a bottle of scotch.
Oh, and a bottle of scotch. A fifth? Yeah, for sure. A handle? Yeah, absolutely. $1,000, $200 plus a bottle of scotch, exactly. Or bourbon, you know, whatever's your flavor. All right, I'm going to give you a very quick insight. Here's the quick insight on this one. We're talking about, ultimately, these cases are all about misappropriation. Somebody gave you something and you pocketed it, right? Or not you, but Shimon pocketed it. He misappropriated the funds. They were meant to be given back after the week, or they were meant to be repaid, whatever it was. And he pockets the money and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Walks off with the cash. We do this, unfortunately, all the time. God gives us resources and God says, I'm giving you a day. I'm giving you a soul for the day. I'm giving you breath and life and energy and smarts and emotions. I'm giving you these priceless resources. And I'm asking you to utilize a portion of them toward what I want in this world. You know, give you some of your resources for me, God says, i.e. to make the world a better place. And oftentimes what happens is we pocket the money. As we say, thanks for the $1,000, boom, I'm taking the whole thing and I'm not giving you back anything. Now, we don't say it in those words, but we act on it and we end up misappropriating the energy, the vitality, the life, the energy, the powers, the soul powers that God gives us. And the message of the Torah is, number one, That's not okay. We need to utilize what we've been given for the correct purpose. Number two, when we come back and we say to Hashem, we realize that we've been pocketing all the funds. Let me give something back to you. When we realize that, the Torah says, don't just give back the principal, give back an extra fifth. And now, Mark, I'm going to connect what you said before with this idea right here. What is the extra fifth? Remember, we said the soul has five names. The extra fifth is the highest level of the soul, the yechidah. That's the extra fifth. The extra fifth is that highest quintessence of the soul that is always connected with God. When a person recognizes that they need to reconnect, and a person brings back to the table the resources they've been given and says to God, I'm ready. I'm on board. I'm ready to do what you put me here in this world to do. When a person comes to that place, it's not enough just to give back the principal, but we have to do it with extra vigor, with extra intensity, with the extra oomph, if you will, of, I'm about to beatbox, but I won't, extra oomph of the neshama of the soul, of the yechidah. All right, so hopefully this is an inspiring message, and that is that we shouldn't just bring our basic energy into making the world a better place, but we need to really bring the quintessence, the yechidah. The yechidah is that it's not even super rational, it's beyond super rational, that essence, quintessence, part of the soul that is absolutely unshakable, absolutely unsinkable. It's like, it's the part of the soul that's likened to the Flintstone. Not the bam 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 ba dum. That's something. It's another Flintstones. It's the part of. It's likened to the flint stone that you can drop it at the bottom of the ocean for 1,000 years, take it out, dry it off, and create a spark to light a fire. It's the part of the soul that never dies. It's the part of the soul that's eternal, that always can provide a spark. That's the soul that we need to bring in to all of our efforts in making the world a better place. So, in the final analysis, number one, never forget who you are. Number two, remember to keep your rationalizations in check. Don't get too caught up with the justifications. Number three, we need to help out each other, those that need help. It's what God put us here to do. And number four, when God gives us resources, let's ask ourselves the question, why were we given these resources and how can we utilize them for our purpose here on this world? And when we do so, we should bring the extra fifth and we should be blessed with a Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbat filled with peace and with health and with wealth and with whatever, well, you know, right before and after Shabbat, etc. And we should be blessed with all that we need and all that our families need to be happy and healthy. And I wish you a good Shabbos. And it's great to see you. I look forward to seeing you, please God, Sunday morning for Kabbalah and Coffee. And Saturday night, we're also planning a Havdalah service about 8:45 or 9. So stay tuned for that as well.